Let's take our Bibles once again and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians 10. I'd like to look at verses 13 and 14. I'm coming right up to that where we'd looked before, when Israel was mightily delivered by the hand of God out of Egypt. The Lord led them in a cloud, led them with a cloud. He delivered them through the Red Sea. He fed them with manna, provided all of their need. But the Scripture declared that with many of them, the Lord was not well pleased. He had no pleasure in permitting many, the vast majority of those that came out of Egypt did not enter into the promised land. The Scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, latter part, they were overthrown in the wilderness. I wanted to know what that word again meant. Remind myself. They were overthrown. They didn't just die, but they were stricken down immediately in an act of God's judgment, justice. Different ones. It was just, remember how many times there were be situations where, like with Korah and that band that followed him, they just decided that they were just going to stand against God, because they stood against Moses, what they did. But really they were standing against God. And the Lord just opened up the earth and sent them all to hell, alive, immediately, just right now. The next day, you remember what happened? They started murmuring against Moses and said, "You have destroyed God's people." And God started killing them again. And Aaron went in with a censer, and the plague was stayed. Thousands of them, thousands and thousands and thousands. When they made that golden calf, went down there, thousands of them were killed. With many of them, God was not pleased, and they were immediately strewn, is what the word. Their carcasses just lay out in the wilderness. Somebody asked me the other day, they said, "Who buried all those?" Scripture doesn't say that all of them were buried. Their carcasses were just laid out under the judgment and justice of God. But Paul, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, reminds us that these things, verse 12, happened for a reason. God allowed these things to happen for a reason. What was it? They were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things. What evil thing? Things that the Lord was not pleased to provide. But then they started murmuring and griping and complaining. And God judged them for it. And he says, latter part of verse 12, "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." Now, who are exhorted to take heed? Well, I can tell you this. For sure, God's people. But everybody sitting here, take heed. You tell a believer, those that have a good hope, have cast themselves upon the mercy of God. You tell a believer to take heed, and I tell you what that believer does. He takes heed. He examines himself to see if he be in the faith. Do I meet these qualifications? Do I find myself to be a sinner? There's a first thing. Do I see myself as a needy, helpless sinner? Does that word take heed? Does that strike a note of caution in us? It ought to. It ought to, because we've got a written account here of so many that came out, and I don't doubt for one second that not one of them that came out, not one of them thought, I'll never make it to the promised land. Every one of them that came out, all the Egyptians gave them all those jewels and stuff like that. We're coming out. God's taking us out of here. God has preserved us through all of these plagues. Not one of them thought anything, but I'm going to be there. Paul says, take heed. A believer does that. You tell an unbeliever to take heed, and I'll tell you that it grieves him. A passage of scripture about a believer. Turn to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. You tell a believer, be warned. Be warned. And here's the attitude. Chapter 26, verse 21. 21. Matthew 26, 21. As they did eat, he said, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Now think of this. He's sitting there with his apostles. And he tells them, truly, I'm saying to you, one of you shall betray me. Now, if that statement was literally, and here it is, it's literally said to these men. But think about a believer thinking about that. When that was said to those apostles, one of you is going to betray me. Now, here's what I know 11 of them did. They were exceeding sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? Am I the one? Now, let me just bare my heart to you. I'm going to just be truthful and just say to me, or unto the Lord, in my heart I'll verbally say it, Lord, am I one that before I leave this earth, am I the one? Am I one that'll forsake you? How many people that forsook, that went out from among us? How many of you thought prior to doing that, how many thought they would? None of them. None of them. Am I the one? Lord, am I one that'll leave you? You tell a believer to take heed, and that word of warning falls on a heart of concern. It's real. Let an unbeliever hear that, and it makes them mad. Are you saying we're not sons of Abraham? That's what the Pharisee says. Do you think that we're not children of God? Remember this. Almighty God gives his people assurance. There's no doubt about that. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Why? The gospel came to you not in word only, but in power. And they are assured. I know whom I have believed. God's people are sober. They're vigilant. They know that their adversary, the devil, goes about seeking whom he may devour. They know that they know. They love. Peter said, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. I love you. Every believer knows. He knows the Lord. And I'll tell you, every believer takes heed. He's continually examining himself to see if he be in the faith. It's just, that's a believer struggling. Well, here's a word of encouragement this morning. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. No temptation to sin. No temptation to rebel against God. No temptation has taken you, but every other person has suffered the same thing. The Lord himself was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. He knows. There's no trial, no affliction, no experience. There's no enticement to sin, no matter how it comes, that everybody else has experienced the same thing. And by the grace of God, if they did not yield to it outwardly, for sure, it was only by the grace of God. No trial is permitted that is beyond human resistance, the ability to resist, because the Lord has promised to so adjust it and adapt that trial, it's tempered. There hath no temptation, no trial taken you, but such is common. But God is faithful. That's the reason. If there is any ability to resist temptation, it's not us. It's not us. My friend, we just ain't that strong. We're just not that able. Oh, I'm able. No, you're not. I'm not either. If the Lord, can you imagine the Lord leaving us to ourselves? I think about that whenever Peter said, I go fishing, I quit, I'm going back. The other said, I'm going with you, I'm getting out of the ministry. That's what they said. Lord called them next morning. Children, have you any meat? No. Here's what he said. How's it going for you? How are you doing by yourself? How is it out there fishing all night? No fruit. No nothing. That going good for you? Why are we able? Why do we have any consistency of walk? Why is there any consistency? And a believer looks at himself and said, I don't see any consistency. But if there's any consistency of walk, any manifestation of the fruit of God's Spirit, here's the reason. God is faithful. He is the source, the security, the comfort, the peace. His faithfulness toward God and toward us. He's faithful. God is faithful. Faithful to his word. Listen to 1 Kings 8:56. Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel. According to all that he's promised, there hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he hath promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. He's faithful. God's faithful. Faithful to his word. Faithful to give unto his people that love we just spoke of. Know ye therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God that keepeth covenant mercy with them that love him, keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. I would desire to be faithful to my word. I want to be. I want to be. But I'm going to just tell you right now. I am a miserable failure when it comes. I want to be consistent. I want to say, when the scripture says, you know, love your brethren. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and admit it right now. I want to do that. Oh, how failing I see myself. But God is faithful. His promise is our assurance. Lord, at your word, that's the most honoring thing we can do. Lord, you said. You said you'd never leave me. Lord, you said that you'd never forsake me. You think about we who are parents. You think about if your child comes up to you and you said something to them. You promised them. You promised them. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it. And they come up to you and say, you said, you told me. Now you know what? If you hadn't done it, I mean, that's convicting. You know I said it, but not with God. He's faithful to his word. Not one word will fail. He's promised. He's faithful. He's given his people. He said, I give unto them eternal life, and they'll never perish. They'll never perish. My friend, again, if he'd deal with me according to my iniquity, if he charged me with my iniquity, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute. He won't charge it to him. Because it's not there. What do you mean it's not there? I mean, for his elect, their sins are cast as far as the east is from the west. Yeah, but the manifestation of it, I know the manifestations of it there. But there's no guilt. There's no guilt. There's no guilt. Oh, the recognition of what I did is there. My sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned. Done this evil in your sight. But oh, the thought. There is no condemnation to them which be in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. He's not going to charge me. You know what that does to a believer? I tell you what it doesn't do. It doesn't cause him to say, well, it just don't matter. My friend, it matters. Does my attitude matter? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That sorry attitude that I see in myself, that arrogant, just, you know, haughty. I make myself sick. Does it matter? Yes, it does. But God is faithful. Almighty God is faithful. Who will not suffer, not allow you to be tempted. He won't allow it. He won't allow it. You think Satan would like to be able to just have free reign with you? Free reign, you know. Oh my, yes. But God won't allow it. He will not suffer. He won't permit it. He won't permit you to be tempted above that which you're able. Almighty God, who rules and reigns, orders. He so adapts. He proportions, graciously proportions the temptations of his people. He knows our character. He knows that we're dust. He knows what's suited to our nature. And he portions with loving strokes of chastening grace. He just won't allow it. He just don't allow it. He permits his people to go through that which they go through. Why? Because he loves them. He's going to teach them. Oh, but when temptation comes, that temptation that he providentially allowed, permitted, he, the scripture says, will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape. He'll make that way. It's provided. How does he do that? Because he's working everything. He orders everything. Nothing comes our way that Almighty God has not allowed and permitted. Treat the temptations that we have as a friend. What? As a friend. Not as a stranger. But coming from the one who loves us. Whom the Lord loveth. He chasteneth. Tries us. And he's allowed it. He sent it. Now you listen to this. Simon. Simon. Behold. Satan hath desired to have you. What does that mean? He's asked excessively to be given, for you to be given up to him. Satan hath desired to have you. Satan wants you. Now at this point, let me ask you this. Because the Lord has stopped it right here. Yeah. Yeah. He's God. He can do that. Satan hath desired to have you. Why? That he may sift you like wheat. He wants to destroy you. He wants you to quit. He wants you to walk away. He wants you out of here. But I've prayed for thee. I've prayed especially for you. Prayed for you. Why? That faith that I gave you, fail not. I'm going to allow it. He wants you. He's asked me. I'm going to permit him to do it. But I prayed for you, Peter. And I've prayed this, that your faith fail not. Did it falter? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Did it fail? Did it fail? No. No. Did he fall? Yeah. Did the Lord pick him up? Yeah. Yeah. I've prayed for you. And when you're converted, what does that mean? Was he already a believer? Yeah. When you're brought back from the trial that I'm going to allow, and going to keep you in the midst of, I want you to strengthen your brethren. Peter, when you've gone through what I'm going to allow you to go through and teach you. Now listen to me. Now there's many of us here that are going through trials. Different ones. Who has allowed them? The Lord. The Lord has allowed him. He's the one that's working all this after the counsel of his own will. But let me tell you what he's done. He's not allowed any trial, any temptation that any of us are going through today. He's not allowed it to come in such a way whereby he has not already provided the way of escape. It's already there. He will with the temptation. And once we've gone through this trial, you know what he told Peter? And he tells all of us. When you're converted, strengthen the brethren. What does that mean? Be an encouragement to them. I've been there. That's what he said. I've been there. That's what these apostles did when they wrote those epistles later. John, Peter, when it, you know, he, when you're taught, and I've taught you something, you strengthen your brethren, and you tell them the Lord's grace is sufficient. You'll be okay. You'll be fine. Oh, it's so comforting when you talk to somebody that's gone through something. You let somebody, you go to a doctor, and you let a doctor tell you, well, I think may be some cancer there. Thank you. Let me tell you who will be a comfort to you. A believer that's been there. A believer that's been there. Somebody will say, I can tell you this. I'm going to tell you from experience. The Lord's grace is sufficient. The Lord will keep you. The Lord will sustain you. When you're converted, Peter, Satan has desired to have you. I prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. That temptation's going to come, but he's not going to allow it to come without providing the way of escape. I will give you the faith. I will pray that your faith fail not. I will be your strength. I will grant you the patience to wait upon me. That's how people, God's people, that's how they are kept. Knowing all that, Paul says in verse 14, wherefore, my dearly beloved, you that I love dearly, flee from idolatry. Flee from everything or anything or anyone that would cause you to have your heart to regard something or someone more or give more reverence to, more respect to, more allegiance to than Almighty God. What do you do? Flee from it. We're not strong enough to deal with it. I can handle it. Flee from it. When that temptation comes, I'm telling you, the Lord who will provide the way of escape, flee from it. Believe Him. Trust Him. What's the way going to be? The Lord will provide. I don't know what He'll do. But I can tell you this. He will not allow you or me to be tempted above that which we're able to resist. But with the temptation will also provide the way of escape. Lord, teach me to wait upon You. Trust You. Look to You. For Christ's sake. Amen.